The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Believe You Me podcast. I've got my top button done up and everything, Lewis.
I know. I see it. It's very, I was going to say proper, but it's not. You look, you're dressed like a child.
I'm not dressed like a child. This is, well, I've got my top button up. I'm dressed like an adult. I dress like a fully functioning man, a successful man, I might add. We're a father of three children and a husband, okay? I'm a trendsetter. I'm an icon. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just, this is how you wear them. You know that top button? That's not there for fun and shits and giggles. It's there to be utilized.
It's a strange. I've just never seen you wear a top button, and it's just the shirt is very tight. It looks like it might belong to one of your kids, and you borrowed it for the show today.
It's not very tight in the slightest. I'll stand up, although it's very loose. It's very loose, you know, very tight. Maybe it's an English thing because I've top buttoned a few times, and I get accused of being a cholo. Right? I remember someone at the UFC was like, "Oh, why are you dressed like a cholo?" I'm like, what are you talking about? Do you know what I mean? What the fuck? You know, it's
like if you have like the flannel shirt with just the top button and the rest open and the long white socks with long shorts and
shorts on and flip flops.
Yeah. You know, Maybe. And by the way, we talked about this as the show started. You are way too pale to be a cholo. Nobody's confusing you with a cholo.
I know, it's the lighting going. I need to fuck with this camera because I'm not this white in real life. It keeps moving a little bit. See if I do that, I get a little bit more color. Anyway, I gotta investigate with that. But yeah, you're right. I would be the whitest cholo known to man. Although maybe there's albino cholos out there. You know, albinos do exist.
Albino chino.
Albino chino, albino cholo. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We have Bilal Mohammed joining us shortly. That'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, he's got a big fight with Leon Edwards coming up. And Leon Edwards, what the hell, buddy? Your opponent comes on, but Leon keeps giving us the shaft, Lewis.
Leon is fucking dead to us. We are now rooting for Bilal Mohammed. Bisping? Leon has no respect for you or your show. He's blown you off four or five times at this point. He doesn't care about his fellow countrymen.
Twice. Let's not make it embarrassing, Lewis. If anything, just lie and say it's one time. You know what I mean? But it was twice. So Leon Edwards, unfortunately, I've got to now pass the baton, if you will, of confidence and trusting and support to Bilal the Bully Mohammed. It's unfortunately, I don't want to do it. It's a sad day for me, but that's what's happening right now. What's going on in your life, Lewis, before we get into the notes?
I mean, nothing much. I'm on full-time dad duty right now. My son's mother is in Mexico right now with her boyfriend, just fucking laying on a beach, just being a real lazy mom right now. No, I kid. She's awesome. And, it's kind of funny. Like I have, I love doing like the full-time dad stuff, but it gets me really, really stressed out. I'll tell you why. Cause I try to not be crazy in front of my son. Like I'll let my anger get the best of me all the time, but I genuinely try to not do it in front of him. So what I do is ironically, I hold in my anger and anxiety and it makes me more angry and anxious. So I walk around just sort of with a chip on my shoulder for no reason at all, because I'm trying to not be angry in front of the kid.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. So by trying to not be angry, you're internally angry.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. I wasn't going to talk about this. I was going to keep it private, but you mentioned it. Yeah, I've actually enrolled in anger management classes. I've been doing that for a few weeks now. So that's why I know you're thinking, wow, Bisping is so zen, so calm.
Was I thinking that?
That's what I'm known as these days. People say, there goes Michael Bisping, one of the calmest, most zen, peaceful people that you will ever meet.
I just heard you almost kill your wife because you put lemon in your water.
No, I almost killed my wife because I'm very thirsty and I asked multiple times. I don't like to fucking repeat myself, Lewis. Okay? And then I'm like, I just want a water. Granted, she was making me a fancy water. She was squeezing lemon juice and orange juice into the water. But I'm like, for the crying out loud, three times, woman, I will not repeat myself a fourth. There will be blows. There will be action. There will be people thrown out of the house. But fortunately for her, I got my water and now we're doing the show.
What have you learned? How many sessions have you gone for anger management so far?
Only three, early days. And to be honest, I'm not sure if this is the guy. I might have to change.
You hate the guy. He makes you angry. His fucking face makes you furious.
I don't hate the guy. Do you want to hear a funny story? Last week, first time when I went, this is hilarious. I stressed out at the anger management guy. I lost my shit at the anger management guy because the first time I went, I had to fill in a bunch of paperwork. I got there early. My appointment was at 10 a.m. I got there at 9:30 because I know new medical establishments, certainly in the States, you guys love paperwork anytime it's something medical. And I get it. They want info, they want background, they want to know whatever, trigger points, whatever. So I got there early. I got there at 9:30 because I anticipated the paperwork. But at 10, at 4 minutes past 10, they walk out and then they hand me the paperwork, right? And it's a 45-minute session. And I'm doing half of the time I was filling in the paperwork. So I'm like, bit my tongue. Go back this time. First thing he has me do, here's some papers. I want you to go out and fill them in on a scale of 1 to 6. How does it make you feel? Do I feel this? Do I feel that? Going through these things. And I start doing it. And it's like pages and pages and pages. And I'm starting to think again, I'm getting fucked over here. He could give me these pages. Last time I left, I said, bring them back with you. Right? So I stop. I get like a third of the way through it. And I say, hey, is this really essential? Really? And he's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm paying you to fill in paperwork. I filled in paperwork last time. Now I'm filling in paperwork again. Oh, am I just going to fill in paperwork every time I come? Could I not have taken these with me? He said, well, the idea is, Michael, we want you to not think and prepare. We just want you to say the first thing that comes into your mind. I'm like, yeah, all right. Well, tell me to get here a little bit earlier. I'm paying you to fill in paperwork. I'm paying you for your expertise. I want you to guide me. I want you to, you know, make me a better person. I don't want to pay you to sit down and fill in fucking paperwork, you know? And then I saw the irony of what I was doing, of course.
Yeah. You need the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to be playing behind you, I'd say 50% of your life.
That's pretty funny.
You're a violent Larry David. That's what you are.
Not violent. I've not been violent in a very, very long time, but certainly I do have violent thoughts. That's for sure. But yeah.
So you go into the session. Have you felt, maybe this isn't the guy, but have you felt as if it's helped you at all in any way?
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. I do actually. He gave me some nice little mantras. Do you want to know what my mantra is at the moment, Lewis?
I really want to know.
Oh, don't say it sarcastically.
No, I do. I do.
This is good. I like it. And I've been saying it to myself and I might even put it on my phone. Respond, not react. Respond, don't react. So of course you're allowed to respond, hear what they're saying, take it on board and respond, but don't react. You know what I mean? And I think essentially that's what I do. I do react. So I'm like, no, I'm responsive. Michael, the responder Bisping, as I'm known in certain circles these days.
Very good. Well, look, I mean, I'll tell you right now, between the last episode and today, I've noticed a noticeable difference. You seem a little bit more calm, a little bit more relaxed. You seem a little more responsive.
I'm responsy, as I'm known.
Responsible.
Responsibility.
we're going to say different versions of the word.
Responsiveness. What else you got, Lewis?
We're both just stupid.
Responding. Come on. Let's go. Come down the phone, look at me on response challenge words. I've got this.
Reactive. Reactionary.
Reactiveness.
Ooh.
Reactivity. Anyway, as I say, we haven't got long. We got half an hour before Bilal Muhammad joins us and gives the show a little bit of structure. But excuse me. I saw this video doing the rounds and you sent it to me the other day and said, we got to talk about this. And I actually wasn't going to talk about it or I didn't really want it. But now I'm like, yeah, in fact, Sure, I'm down. But give us some backstory, because I know if you go on Twitter, you've probably seen it, maybe on Instagram as well. But two guys are in a toilet. They get into an argument with two other fellas. Turns out two are MMA guys and two are footballers. But I don't know any of the backstory. So Lewis or Harrington, over to you.
So the backstory is still a little bit gray. And the MMA fighter, he has been advised by his lawyers to not give any information about what happened preemptively. But when you see the video, and we could, Brian, in the meantime, you could pull the video up. So we don't even need the audio probably. We could just talk over the video if we want to just watch it at the same time. But the video starts with these two guys facing off. The one guy has a bloody nose on the right. If you want to pause it for a second.
Yeah. I saw that, dude. I saw that straight away. So he has a bloody nose. Continue.
So something obviously happened. Now, the two guys on the left are football players. One of the guys' names is Spencer Jones, who plays for Oklahoma State. He's a running back, I guess, or something like that. And he's with another friend of his. And then the other guys are Walker and Braden Brown, who are both obviously smaller guys who have been training mixed martial arts. Now, at this point, I'm assuming these guys don't know that the smaller guys have been training mixed martial arts. Just pause it for a second, Brian. It's fine. So they're facing off. My assumption is something happened. They got into like a scuffle beforehand. The one guy that kind of looks like Ben Askren has a bloody nose. At one point you see him turn. I don't know if you hear this, but he leans over to his brother, who's the guy in the hat. And he goes, "Which one do you want?" With like all the confidence in the
world. Which one said that?
The guy that looked like Ben Askren with the bloody nose.
Okay.
So he goes, "Which one do you want?" And then he wipes the blood from his nose, smacks the guy, and then just unleash beast sounds on these guys.
Let's just watch it. I've seen it a million times. I mean, there are a couple of good punches there. He gets him, picks him up, bone puts him down, smashes his head into someone's ass on the way down. And then the other one grabs the other one. Not quite as clean execution on the takedown there. Just got the old-fashioned headlock there. I mean, that's disgusting. They're rolling around in piss and feces and throw up.
But you have a couple bathroom brawl stories, Bisping, that you've told on the show. So now, I didn't realize how gross I would think it is watching it. I'm just thinking about how much germs they're picking up.
Yeah, no mask. What the fuck? a mask is the least of their worries right now. But I've seen different theories. And there's people talking shit about the footballers, people talking shit about the MMA fighters. And, I mean, they were in... I mean, we don't know what happened beforehand. One of them had a bloody nose. And the other two, they are bigger, and they did seem on this video to be the instigators. They were talking a little bit of shit. But we don't know what happened before. And the fact that you said the one guy that looks like Ben Askren says, "Which one do you want?" They're very confident. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't know if I sign off on it, Lewis, if I'm honest. If you chat shit, you get banged. But we don't know what happened before. And, you know, maybe they were being dicks. Maybe they're bullies. You know what I mean? Maybe they learn a bit of MMA or wrestling, whatever, and they're just going out getting drunk and being dickheads. If they are, I'm not cool with that. But if the footballers started it all, then fair play. They got what they fucking deserved. But no one knows. No one knows.
To be honest, you're right. The one thing you're really right about there is we don't have enough data to really have an opinion on it, right? To really know, like, oh, these guys were the dicks. These guys were the dicks. Before the video started, the two smaller MMA guys could have been fucking smacking the other guy's girlfriends on the ass, throwing drinks in their faces.
I guarantee it. The way the hairstyle, I don't trust the hairstyle. Anyone with a hairstyle like that, I do not trust. He's got a little bit of blood, busted nose, right? Something happened there beforehand, right? And they were looking for trouble.
Maybe he was doing a little bit of blow. He was really coked up. He's got blood pouring out of his nose. The football guy's like, "Buddy, come on, you got a life ahead of you. What are you doing?"
Yeah, he was like trying to talk him off the ledge all day. He's been trying to be really nice. They followed him into the bathroom. And he's like, it's at that point, he's like, "Listen, now I have to put my hands on you. You're following me into the bathroom. I'm trying to take a pee. This is a private, it's a private ceremony that does not include you. Fuck off, get away." And then the guy gives him three left hugs. "No, I'm sorry. Step into my office." Why? Because you're fucking fired, Mr. Ben Askren wannabe.
Well, what I'll say is from the video, I can also tell you right now that Spencer's friend was being a dick, because you see him, he's calling the guy bitch, he's pushing him. From what I can see, when this guy leans over, says, "Come on, bitch," and pushes him, that's an act of aggression, you know? And these guys are twice as big. It's a 2-on-2. I think the reason everyone is siding with the MMA guys is because it just seems like these two are these big bully jocks who just stepped to the wrong guys that were half their size. But you're right. I saw some people online going like, well, these guys are trained martial artists. They know that they've been training since they were 12 years old, they said. They know how to handle themselves. They also know how to walk away from a confrontation like that. But, you know, at what point do you say, well, no, I'm not going to fucking walk away. I got a bloody nose. These guys are being aggressive. You know, so you're right in that. I don't know that we have enough information, but I've watched that video 100 times. And in the fantasy version of what happened, those guys were being jock dickheads and they got a taste of their own medicine.
Well, first of all, I would say to you, please don't watch any video like that 100 times. We got to talk, Lewis. We got to find you something better to do with your time.
No.
But still, we don't know all the facts, so it's pointless debating it. Why is there a lawyer involved, though? You mentioned before that one of them lawyered up. That certainly seems to be the actions of somebody that has, you know, something to hide or something to defend.
Well, I mean, no, I understand lawyering up. It's a guy who's, you know, the football player. So the end result is this: his orbital bone was shattered, almost lost his eye. This is like I think he's a pretty well known. And Harrington, please chime in because I'm sure you know a little bit more about the football.
We don't need any more details.
Never mind. Fuck Harrington.
In a moment. But yeah, if he smashed his orbital up, then yeah, he probably does right lawyering up. Certainly in this country, because the Sioux culture is insane.
Yeah. Well, the statement that actually, because we were trying to get him on the other podcast, he sent one of our producers, Bobby Hutch. Shout out, Bobby Hutch. He sent him. Let me see if I could find the thing that the lawyer sent. Shit, I can't find it right now. So he essentially said that his rib was busted up and, you know, he was injured beforehand and he's been advised to not talk about it until it all plays out, until the investigation is over, which I understand. And that's the case, whether you're innocent, guilty, whatever it is, a lawyer is going to say, shut the fuck up. Don't go on a podcast and laugh about beating up some guy in a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, either way, grow the fuck up. All of them. Alcohol, children and alcohol, they're going out, they're rolling around on the floor, they're getting into bathroom fights. One day they're going to look back, they're going to be ashamed if they're not already. But we've all been there. I remember once I was out with my brother Conrad, and it was when I first took Rebecca down to meet him. I think it was the first time, and there was his girlfriend at the time, and we went out, and we were all drinking too much. We were kids, we were hammered. And Conrad's a big guy, and he drinks a lot. And he went off to the bathroom. And he was in the toilet and he was taking a while. And then he comes back and he sits down at the table. And all of a sudden, the security show up, bunch of doormen, grab Conrad in a fucking rear naked choke, right? Drag him out of his seat. Of course, I'm his brother. I'm going to come to his defense. So next minute, I'm getting into a massive fight with these doormen. They pick us up, literally pick us up, like carrying us sideways. Right, like four doormen have got me, four doormen have got my brother. They pick us up, carry us to the fire exit. Throw us out in the street.
Use your head to open the door.
Yeah, kind of. Fucking threw us into a puddle because it was pouring down with rain outside, and then fucking tap dance on our head for a few minutes, right? All of them. So anyway, so they tap dance on our heads and I jump up. I'm like, well, fuck this. Come on, Conrad. Let's fucking do him. So we go around to the front of the pub and they're all standing there. And there's this one of them. He's about 8 foot tall. And I'm not trying to sound hard, but I think, right, there he is. There's the fucking leader. So I go up. I go, boom, I fucking crack. Because they stand there. They say, come on, then. Come on, dickhead. I said, all right. Bang, fucking crack him. Punched him in the forehead. Must have been a good one because his nose just exploded with blood. And then all the security just looked at each other and goes, should we fucking do him? And they went, yeah. And they came for me. I was like, fuck this. I like it down the street. I'm running down the street as fast as my fucking legs could carry me because I got one good shot in, but there's no way I'm going to take on like 9 gigantic fucking doormen. Do you know what I mean? So I'm running down the street, and as I'm running down the street, I get picked up by a fucking cop car.
Oh, no.
They called the cops. So that was all my brother's fault. And it turns out, I said, later on, I'm like, what happened? So it turns out he went into the bathroom, threw up everywhere, like violently projectile vomited all over the bathroom, and then just walked out and never cleaned it up. And they looked on the security footage, saw it was my brother. I was like, right, fuck him, he's out. So that's out.
Also a little bit of an overreaction for somebody who you should have cut off from the bar hours ago. He's sick, maybe alcohol poisoning. That's not how they should have handled that situation. They shouldn't violently throw him out.
But that's what people do in certain situations. It is what it is. It was a long time ago. We're talking 1999, 22 goddamn years ago. My God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, the thing you maybe can understand, because, you know, who knows what happened in that situation with the football player and the MMA guys, right? But you do understand why his brother was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm just fighting this other guy. These are two brothers. And I understand that as well. I don't have a brother, but if anybody fucks with one of my friends, I am... I'm just, I'm way more likely to defend one of my friends than I am to even defend myself. If somebody talks shit to me, like, I can walk away from that pretty easily. But if somebody starts fucking with one of my friends or one of my family members, then I just see red immediately. So,
Brother, please respond. Don't react, Lewis. Okay. That's what you got to do. Take a deep breath and just respond. Anyway.
Respond, not react. I'm just remembering your mantra. I'm going to use it from now on.
Please. Let's move on because I'm going to react in a minute if I have to talk about that fucking story anymore. Look at this camera. Look, if I do that, the light's perfect for a second. I got to figure that out. Anyway, Dominic Cruz has a fight coming up against Casey Kenny on the next pay-per-view. Next week, a week on Saturday. And he's fighting Casey Kenny. Of course, last time we saw him, he got beaten by Henry Cejudo. We know what happened there. Fucking, you know, afterwards, Dominic was a little annoyed. He said that Keith Peterson stunk of cigarettes and alcohol. And that was why, you know, he made that shitty judgment call. He said that Keith Peterson wouldn't look him in the eye when he was talking to him beforehand, just alluding that he was, you know, hammered and things like that. Now, Harrington, do you want to jump in here, please? Show yourself and just give us a bit of background on what's going on between Dominic Cruz and Casey Kenny and whatnot. Basically, just tell the audience what you told us in the notes, which I told you to put into the notes. Roundabout way, just educate everybody.
Hey, can you just say what Bisping would say? Go.
Tell me to tell the world, and let's see how well you tell it.
Can you do it? But do an impression of Bisping.
Yeah, do it. Do it as me.
All right, isn't it? So Henry Cejudo, then he's been out for quite a bit, and
the old Dodger from fucking the movie Oliver. Jesus Christ, I'm not out there fucking picking a pocket or two. Fuck me.
Would you like a shoe shine, Governor?
I've never been so insulted in my life. Continue, Harrington.
So he thinks you're a chimney sweep. I understand.
He could pass for a chimney sweep or actually the pick-a-pocket-o tour. He could be. I got to pick-a-pocket-o tour. Have you seen that movie? Have you seen Oliver? You never seen the musical Oliver?
When I was a kid, really young.
What's he called? What's he called? The little leader of the thieves. What's his name?
The Artful Dodger?
The Artful Dodger. No, not the Artful Dodger. What's he called? Anyway, who gives a fuck? Stop picking pockets or twos and tell us what to do, please.
All right, Jack Dawkins. Henry Cejudo's been out for quite some time. Dominic Cruz came out and said, you know, people are basically laughing at Henry Cejudo right now. He's this guy who thinks he's worth all these millions of dollars and like he's actually done something. It's like he's not moving the needle. He's not exciting people. You have people like Piotr Jan and Aljamain Sterling who are going to fight for that 135-pound belt. And like people are excited for that. That's going to be an action fight. So they're not gaining anything by bringing back Henry Cejudo. And he said that the UFC is essentially laughing at these comeback talks that he's making. On the flip side, Henry Cejudo responded, quote tweeted him and said, you know, is this the cigarettes and alcohol making you talk like this, Dominic? Or are you just waking up from the nap that I gave you? Enjoy your time on the prelims.
Yeah, so that's a nice little comeback. Obviously, he holds the win over him, so that's always good. And then now Dominic's next fight is on the prelims, so that's a nice little fucking dig. But didn't Cruz come out and defend the prelim situation and say he's not bothered either way?
Yeah, he said he's detached from his ego.
Yeah.
I was going to say you'd have to sort of say that, even if you are bothered by it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been on the prelims in my life. Would have you seen dead on a prelim? No, I'm kidding. No, at the end of the day, Dominic Cruz just got to win. He wants to win a fight. Of course, you know, he's a ruthless competitor. He wants to get the job done. He wants to be champion again. Problem is he's getting older. I think he's, 38 now? And those lighter weight classes, they're predicated on speed and reflexes. So the older you get, you know, the chances of becoming the best in the world definitely get much, much slimmer. And listen, I understand he's annoyed. I was talking about this. I did yesterday, filled in for Chael Sonnen on Ariel and the Bad Guy. And this was actually one of the topics on there. And what was one of the topics? My mind just went.
So Dominic Cruz being on the prelims.
Yeah, Dominic Cruz and Cejudo. I'm trying to think what the point was. Oh, no. But you know, So who does going to say what he's going to say? He beat him legitimately. Cruz is annoyed. I guess for Cruz, he was kind of getting up. This is almost a year old now, so we're not going to get into it. But he was kind of getting up, so he has an argument. But I still think it was the correct call. Listen, he's got a tough fight, though. Casey Kenny. This is the problem. I do respect Dominic Cruz for taking this fight because it's a big step down in competition, if you will. Maybe not in terms of technical ability for Casey Kenny, but certainly in name value. You know what I mean? There's Henry Cejudo to Casey Kenny. There's a big drop down there, but he's still good. Casey Kenny's a multiple-time national judo champion. He's a state champion wrestler multiple times at high school and college, I believe. And I think he's only got like two losses on his record, you know, so he's a very, very tough fighter.
It's a massive opportunity for Casey Kenny, to be honest. Like, you know, I do give Dominic Cruz a lot of respect because I think in this day and age, when you have former champions that are marquee fighters, Dominic Cruz, say what you want about him, he's a marquee fighter, he's been around for a long, long time. You just don't see it. You really don't see them stepping down that much in terms of name recognition. And it's telling as to where Dominic Cruz's head is at. He just wants to go out there and fight and win. And maybe there's some truth in him saying that he's detached from his ego a little bit here. He did go on to say that, you know, being the featured prelim fight, there's more eyes on it than any other fight, than more eyes on it than the pay-per-view. Maybe he's just doing a little bit of mental gymnastics there. But, I mean, there is some truth to that. A lot of people do watch those prelims.
Yeah, but more people watch the main event. It's the main event. There's many events. There's ones, you know, there's maybe 12, 13 events on, but there's one that's called the main event. That's like the main event. That's like the main attraction. That's like the big, you know, the main dish at a meal. It is the piece de resistance at a show. You know, it is what everyone's talking about. The main event is what's selling the show. It's driving the traffic. It's getting people to buy the pay-per-view. I understand that it is. If you're going to be on the prelims, the prelim headliner is the one you want to be on. But guess what? If you're on the main card headliner, the main event, you might say, is more prestigious. Listen, he's doing what he got to do to accept the situation, and that's what you do. And he has kind of got a point. There is a little bit of truth to that, but you know, you want to be in the main event if possible. But still, I'll tell you what the main thing is, though. 135 pounds, heating up very nicely. Obviously, you got Piotr Jan as the champion. Aljamain Sterling's fighting next week. I mean, then you got Corey Sandhagen, TJ Dillashaw coming back, Casey Kenny, Sugar Sean O'Malley, Dominic Cruz, obviously. A lot of good talent at 135, and certainly Henry Cejudo. And he's saying that UFC are laughing at him coming back. I don't know if they're laughing at him, but I understand what he's saying, though, because I think Cejudo does want, you know, crazy big Conor McGregor-style money. And I knew, I mean, what did you think? You know, when he quit, he retired after beating Dominic Cruz. I thought to myself that there's no way that's an actual retirement.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thought that. It was also, you know, and I like Cejudo. I turned a corner on Cejudo a little while ago. And I started thinking his antics were actually kind of funny and interesting. And he started being a little self-deprecating. It was, I think that there is definitely interest, public interest in Henry Cejudo coming back. People want to see Henry Cejudo come back. He was the last guy to truly hold that title. He retired from the sport with the title. So I feel like, I don't know that they're, I mean, obviously they're just talking shit. Dominic Cruz is just talking shit, but I don't know that. I think Dominic Cruz, you know, he's the guy to beat. And if he comes back, all eyes are going to be on Dominic Cruz. I mean, I'm sorry, not on Henry Cejudo. I apologize.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. For sure. You know, and I'm with you as well. Cejudo did used to kind of, you know, get on my tits a little bit, so to speak. But now, actually, I was like, no, he's trolling everybody. He's pretty funny, self-deprecating. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But good, best of luck to Casey Kenny and Dominic Cruz. That'll be a good fight. Stacked main card next week. Fucking three title fights on. Absolutely huge. But still, that's next week. We've got Bilal Mohammed joining us in 10 minutes. Where should we go to next? Is there anything particularly juicy that you want to get into? Obviously, we got fights this weekend. Ciryl Gane taking on Jairzinho Rozenstruik. We're going to break that down in a little bit, but it's a pretty slim news week. I mean, there's some pedophilia in the notes knocking around, some child abuse that's floating around. It's a little heavy for our kind of style. Valentina Shevchenko is back in action April 24th, taking on Jessica Andrade. Andrade, as if you recall, is coming off a brutal KO of former title challenger Caitlin Chookagian. That'll be a good fight. Shevchenko versus Andrade. Andrade is a little powerhouse. Remember, she slammed Rosna Muniz on her head to win the title. But Shevchenko is really, really good. Travis Fulton, Lewis, does that name mean anything to you?
Yeah, he's old school, right? Old school UFC guy?
Yeah, very old.
He was like, I'm trying to remember what he looks like. I remember he had like kind of like scraggly like facial hair. I'm trying to remember what the fuck went.
I actually don't have a clue, but I didn't know anything about this. So Harrington, you'll have to come on. You put this in the notes, please.
Harrington, as the guy who dresses most like a pedophile on this show, please shed some light on this.
Yeah, and give us like his insights and his reasoning and his motives for doing so, you know, because as a fellow pedophile yourself, now and again, the urge takes you. Talk us through those dark days and the decision-making process that you go through.
I'd like to point out that the beard is coming back. I'm not just a mustachioed man anymore, so I don't know where these comments are coming from. It's very hurtful.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you for that information. And we can clearly see the beard's coming back. I got to say, impressive beard growth. From the other day, you had a Charlie Chaplin mustache. Now you've got a beard. And what's that? Monday to Thursday, 3 days. Not bad.
Devil's advocate.
Avocado.
That was a Hitler mustache.
You could say that. I'd prefer to stay away from Hitler. I don't like to mention him on this podcast. He's responsible for the death of millions of people around the world. You know, Charlie Chaplin's a little bit nicer.
Slightly. Still,
from Hitler to pedophiles. Give us the lowdown on Travis Fulton and what the hell has he been up to?
Well, you know, this is a guy who's got, you know, I think it was over 300 pro fights. If I'm not mistaken, he's fought all over the world in a number of different promotions. Last year, I think he was fighting, you know, guys in the regional scene. And they were talking about like, man, I'm fighting Travis Fulton. I remember like looking up to this guy for years and years.
Man you were talking to, did he talk like this? Man, I'm fighting Travis Fulton, man.
Yeah, I mean, like guys were it got to a point in his pro MMA career where he was getting knocked out and guys were like, man, I don't want to hurt Travis Fulton. Like, I remember watching this guy back at, you know, UFC 21 and he was like a real back in the like Lewis was saying, like an SBG era UFC fighter. Yeah, that's damn, that is kind of exactly what I look like with a goatee.
It looks like you and Chuck Liddell had a baby.
He does look kind of noncy, if I'm honest. But still, continue with the allegations, which are alleged, by the way. This isn't us saying it, but I do want to hear. Continue.
I believe all men until proven guilty, so.
So he was indicted this week on charges of not only child pornography, but it says child abuse and I believe abducting a child. Let me double check that. But yeah, he is just indicted on it by a grand jury by some pretty exploitation of a child, possession of child pornography, and the receipt of child pornography. So that's the three charges. Sorry.
Lock him up and throw away the key. If that is legit, listen, I don't care. Oh, it was just looking at a bit of child pornography. Well, number one, that fee.
Who says that?
No. That's what I'm saying. If they're saying, well, he was only looking, he wasn't actually partaking in the abuse of the said children or whatever. I'm like, no, because it all feeds that nasty industry. It's absolutely fucking disgusting. There's absolutely no excuse to have that kind of filth on your computer. And if you do, whatever happens to him, I will have zero sympathy. If, of course, it is, as Harrington said.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody's defending looking at child porn, even. I mean, there is a child that is a victim on the end of that camera.
It was research, okay? Yeah. I just had to know. I'm trying to get into their mind.
Who said that? Wasn't there a rock star that said he was doing research for a book and he was, like, looking at a bunch of child porn? He got, like, arrested. It was, like, a big news story.
Wasn't that Pete Townsend?
Yes, Pete Townsend. He had a bunch of child porn on his hard drive, and then when he got caught and arrested for it, he said he was doing research for a book.
And did they buy it?
I don't know. I don't know. I want to read the book, though.
I haven't heard of Pete. Who was it? Pete Townsend?
Yeah, Pete Townsend.
Who the fuck's Pete Townsend?
From The Who, right?
From The Who.
Oh, God.
From The Who? Who is
Pete Townsend? Yeah. Oh, God. Terrible jokes. Yeah, man. All right. Well, listen, there's not much to talk about there, really. All pedophiles are bad. We don't like them. And Travis Fulton is now part of that very ominous club. So go fuck yourself,
well,
Travis
Fulton. He's still a UFC legend. I mean, come on. You can't separate the man from his art. Come on, Bisping.
No, he's dead to me. That's it. I don't care. Listen, the day I'm looking at kiddie porn, take that Hall of Fame trophy behind me and smash it over my head, okay? None of my accomplishments, large they were, of course, but none of them would matter anymore. They will pale into significance.
If he was more accomplished in current day MMA, would you give him a little bit more of a pass? Like, I would give you more of a pass than I give Travis Fulton for looking at child porn.
Okay, so by that logic, John Jones can get away with full-on child abuse.
Oh, John Jones, he could go down to the cage every time he enters with two babies on leashes if he wants to, because he's a legend. Maybe number one pound for pound of all time.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not comfortable with this. We're joking, of course. That's what we always do. But it's like, maybe certain things we shouldn't joke about. Listen, Travis Fulton, yeah, you're a nonce. That's what we say in England. He's a nonce, and that's disgusting.
What
okay?
is a nonce?
Well, he's a paedophile.
Is that what a pedophile is?
Yeah, you're a nonce.
Really? I thought a nonce was just like a dickhead.
No, that's a ponce.
Oh, well.
I think so. Ponce, nonce, maybe. Sconce.
All right, Mike, real quick, we must thank Sheath Underwear for supporting today's show. I love my Sheath Underwear. If you guys don't know, Sheath makes the most comfortable boxer briefs in the world.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, every man listening to this podcast, you all need to buy new underwear at some point. You've heard of all the things that we say. It's got the pouch, they're very comfortable, they've got great designs, and they are great designs, and they are very comfortable. But you're going to need some new underwear, and I would like it if you went to sheathunderwear.com and used the promo code BELIEVE20. Why is that? Well, number one, you get the new underwear. You also get 20% off, and you're supporting our show, right? It's a little bit you can do for us, giving you hours and hours of free entertainment every single week for years now, for generations, throughout centuries. We have given you this information, this entertainment. So please do us a solid. Go to sheathunderwear.com the next time you need underwear. Get the best underwear on the market, the comfiest, the most stylish, and with that moisture-wicking technology, but also save yourself 20%. Sheathunderwear.com. Believe 20 is the code. 20% off, as I said, one more time. Sheathunderwear.com. All right. Where were we? All right. Well, Bilal Muhammad, listen, I don't want to delve into that. I don't want to make jokes either. Do you know what I mean? Because we don't want to offend people, because it is disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting.
I literally want to offend people. That is my whole career, Bisping.
I know, but I don't want to. I would rather not. I'd rather people laugh along with us and have a good time and enjoy what we're talking about, as opposed to actually offending them. I did notice a lot of people giving me shit for making a little joke about God and Jesus on the last episode. Sorry, deal with it. And then, by the way, those same people, by the way, in the comments going, oh, making jokes about my eye. And then, but then talking about God. So I responded in the comments. I'm like, oh, really? Okay, well, that's very religious of you to mock my injuries. It's just a perfect example. So stick your religion up your ass. That's how you're going to be.
The last live stream, I jumped into the live stream and you were watching at the same time. I was like, oh, you're watching. I was like, jump on with me. And you're like, cool, I'll do that. And I chimed in. And nobody believed it was me. They're like, yeah, you're Lewis. Go fuck yourself. You're not really Lewis. And I was like, why would I? Who would pretend to be me? You just got to click on my name and you'll know it's me. And after like 5 minutes, I was like, all right, I'm just going to leave. Nobody's talking. Bisping didn't chime in. Harrington chimed in. Nobody gave a fuck.
I did chime in. I went in. I said, hey, what's up, fellas? Yada, yada, yada. But it's difficult on YouTube. How do you respond to someone's actual comment? Because I see somebody saying that. Then you can't reply to their comment. You just got to write your own comment and hope they see it.
Yeah, right? It's a live chat. You really are a boomer. Holy shit.
Like someone says, hey, yo, Mike, you can't go, oh, yeah, to them specifically, which you should be.
You can.
All right, well, I haven't seen that function on my phone.
I'll show you after this.
Oh, show me. It's going to change my life. Bilal Muhammad, get on the show. Please, for the love of God, let's talk about this till he shows up. Kevin Lee. Kevin Lee calls out loser leaves town match with Tony Ferguson. It makes sense, says Kevin Lee, and it puts us back where it should be. A fight with me and him is going to kind of show one of us has to win and one of us is going to have to leave. So that's a fight that interests me this summer. We'll see what he's talking about on his end, but he's my number one in my book. Kevin Lee, yeah, he's a tremendously talented fighter, very explosive, good wrestler, the whole package. And just kind of struggled lately. Of course, we know where Tony Ferguson is. They have fought before. Tony Ferguson, I think it was the second round, won by triangle. But in the first round, Kevin Lee did put it on him pretty good. I noticed, though, yesterday, Tony Ferguson training with legendary boxing coach Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach put a picture up saying, yeah, great work, champ, first session in the bag. And that's what I like to see from Tony. Because Tony, you know, he lost two in a row. He needs to change some things. And rather than doing his own crazy training techniques in the park and all that type of stuff, I'd like to see him work with a great guy like Freddie Roach. But fuck Freddie Roach, not only because he fucking cornered GSP when he took my belt, it's because Bilal, the bully, Muhammad, has joined us. Thank you, Bilal. I appreciate it, bud.
What's up, fellas? How you guys doing?
Bully, that's your middle, that's the nickname, right?
Remember the name.
Oh, shit. Remember the name. We're talking of names. This is Luis J. Gomez in the middle. Say hi, Luis.
What's going on, Bilal? How are you, my friend?
What's up, brother? I'm good.
So thanks for joining us last minute. Of course, you had a big win a couple of weeks ago, but you got a big fight with Leon Edwards. I'll let you do the talking. Talk to us. How did this fight materialize and so on and so forth?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those where it was after my fight, you know, I have a couple of days of eating slop and just... My bad. Sitting there bored, sitting at home, trying to figure out what to watch on TV. You know, your coaches want you to take off a couple of days and you're like, what do? I was just in a camp for freaking 8 weeks. I'm bored now. So it's like, I need to do something. And then all of a sudden, a couple of days later on Wednesday, my manager called me like, hey, how you feeling? Are you good? I was like, is it serious? He's like, yeah, they're serious. So I'm like, okay. Then I'm taking it no matter what. After that, I called my coaches, told my coaches, yo, they offered me Leon. I said, yeah. And then just from there on, it was the rest is history.
Yeah. So obviously Leon Edwards hasn't fought for a while, but he's on the back of a big win streak.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, no, we kept losing you as well, Bilal. You kept kind of disappearing for a second.
He's gone.
That was awesome. What a great interview. Thanks for joining us.
The great Bilal Muhammad. Good luck with your fight against Leon.
Listen, if you're that good, you don't need long, Luis. You get him. You make your dents. You make your impression. You leave. You got something else to say. He's back again.
My bad. You guys got me.
We're like, that's it. That was the interview. That was fucking awesome. Came in, said, I'm fighting Leon Edwards. Goodbye. Sign off. So what's going on, bud? So you're going to fight Leon Edwards March 13th. I'm very proud to say I'll be calling that fight. So what do you make of Leon? And let me tell you this, before you say that, right, and don't worry about me, I've been trying to get him on my podcast. He keeps fucking me off, Bilal.
Yeah, dude, I listened to your podcast. I'm like, you're like, man, he's coming out today. He canceled again.
Yeah, he keeps canceling him.
I'm going to come out for sure just to freaking spite him.
But that's kind of what's going on here, Bilal. Do you know what I mean? If you won't join us, Leon, then we're going to join Bilal. Simple as that. Podcast was, remember the name, and believe you me, joining forces to take down Leon Edwards. Now, talk to me about the opponent. What do you think of him?
You know, he's not a bad fighter. He's one of those guys who's on a big streak. He got a lot of wins. He got a lot of hype from fighters. You know, but like, you know, he doesn't have the biggest social media platform, and not a lot of guys are, a lot of fans don't really know him just because he's not really active on social media. But this game nowadays, you got to be entertaining inside and outside of the cage. But fighter wise, you know, he's a great fighter, southpaw, kind of like a McGregor, where it's like he tries to hit you with that one sniper shot, clean shot. Other than that, he's been out for over a year. He's one of those guys where he feels like he deserves everything to be handed to him. And it's like, we're fighters though, bro. You have to, you can't take that fight. Well, just take the next fight. Keep beating these guys. Keep getting a check instead of just, yo, I don't want to fight this guy. This guy doesn't make sense. This guy doesn't make sense. I deserve to fight this guy. I deserve to be fighting for the title. And now you're fighting Bilal Muhammad. So now look where you got yourself into.
You accepted this fight just a couple days after getting the win over Lima. Is this the fastest turnaround of your career?
The fastest turnaround of my career, yeah. But short notice wise, I've taken three big short notice fights before.
And how do you feel about that? Because Bisping's talked about it extensively about sometimes that is actually a bit of an advantage. What do you like, having more of a training camp or less?
Honestly, I like having less of a training camp because you don't have to sit there and think about the guy all week, overanalyze him. Oh, how does he jab? Does he jab like this? Look at his front foot. Where you're overthinking it, and you're like, I hate watching tape of my fighters.
Great interview once again.
Oh, sorry,
hey, what's up?
I keep getting all these calls.
I was going to say, what's going on? You're getting called. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's Leon Edwards trying to sabotage the interview.
I just want to say, when I went on Remember the Show, Luis, I was set up in the professional podcast network. I had a microphone. I had the camera. I had the lights just right. I was on early. Fucking Bilal, man. Can't even put his phone on airplane mode. I don't know what to say to you, Bilal. I thought we were goodies.
Oh, dude, that's a smart idea. I'm about to turn on airplane mode. One second.
If you're on Wi-Fi, yeah, there you go. Stick it on airplane. Fuck them off. So, Leon Edwards, How do you win this fight? Of course, I don't expect you to give the game plan away and things like that, but how are you going to approach it? Because he's well-rounded. He's got good takedown defense. Obviously, everyone trains the submissions in jiu-jitsu, but he's beaten a lot of great guys like Gunnar Nelson. So, you know, he showed his grappling capabilities and his defensive capabilities in that. And of course, he's a good striker. So how do you approach this fight with Leon?
Yeah, you know, even in that, like, watching that Gunnar Nelson fight, he was at a breaking point in that third round. Gunnar Nelson mounted him. Gunnar Nelson was close to finishing that fight, and it was like he was just laying there on his back. So when bringing up that fight, he rocked Gunnar Nelson a couple times early, and that, like, Gunnar, it took Gunnar a while to get back, get right in his own head. And then when he did, he mounted him. He was close to finishing him in that third round. And then if Gunnar Nelson almost found your breaking point, Bilal Muhammad's going to definitely find your breaking point in a five-round fight. For me fighting – just so recently, I had so much volume in that fight. I threw over 250 punches in that fight, and I felt so good in there where I was in a different comfort level in there. Like, that's the biggest thing, is it's like trying to transfer what happens in the gym to the cage. And it's all about, you know, sometimes you get nerves, sometimes you sit there, get an adrenaline dump getting into the cage. But this fight, I felt so good. So for me, going off that fight, off that momentum, getting a fight 3 weeks later with no injuries, the same cardio I have, and you're giving me two extra rounds, I'm going to find his breaking point. I'm going to be in his face. Every single one of the guys he's fought, like you say, where he's fought, if you think about it, he's fought Cerrone, who was on a, like, 18-fight losing streak before that. He fought Dos Anjos, who...
Whoa. That's the... Conor went up to welterweight and took on that beast. So, you know, come on.
He's messing around.
Put some respect on his name. I'm kidding. Continue. Sorry.
No, I'm messing around. But, like, the guys that he fought were... They were coming off a couple losses, where Dos Anjos lost to Kobe and Usman before his fight with them. And it's like, all right, now you have a playbook of what those guys did to him. So then you realize what you need to do to him. And for me, he hasn't fought anybody like me, a guy that's going to throw so much volume in your face, a guy that I'll eat your shots to be in your face and make it uncomfortable for you. And for me to have the opportunity to make it uncomfortable for five rounds, I'm going to find your breaking point. I'm going to find it where you're sitting there looking at your coaches like, what do I do now? This guy's still standing here. You're going to be looking at your coaches waiting for some sort of instruction, but there's no instructions to breaking. Like, mentally, you're going to break unless you have a freaking psychiatrist that you're working with that's in your corner that's telling you, woosah, there's nothing you're going to be able to do.
You might say respond, not react. It's a private
I was going to say, were you listening to the earlier part of the show where Bisping specifically Lewis. Has been woosahing?
It's a long story. You don't want to know. Lewis.
So, all right. So tell me, what do you think your biggest advantage is going into this fight?
My biggest advantage is just me staying active, me being in there. Like, you know, sit there, guys that, like Dominic Cruz will say, ring rust is not a thing. Ring rust is not a thing, but it is a thing. And especially me experiencing fighting without a crowd, without having a fight week where you're sitting there in quarantine, it's different. It's like you feel like you're in jail all week. So it's a whole different feeling. Coming from that, and then him coming from down here, this is gonna be his first fight in over a year and a half. And you know, that first round, I'm gonna be in your face, and you're gonna have that adrenaline dump. You're gonna have that, man, maybe I should have waited for a Wonderboy fight, man. Maybe I should have waited for a guy that's a prettier striker that's gonna sit there and play with me a little bit, dance on the outside, so I have a chance to breathe. You're not gonna have a chance to breathe with me. I'm gonna be in your face five freaking rounds, 25 minutes, and you're going to be like, you're going to think back to, man, it was so good quarantining at home where I didn't get punched in the face.
And do you see it going the five rounds?
For me, I always think that. I mean, if I get a punch where it knocks him out in the first round, I'll take it. But like when I'm training, I'm always training for, yo, this is going to be the five rounds, hardest rounds of your life. So we're getting put in bad positioning. I'm having heavier guys on top of me where it's making me uncomfortable. If I go in there thinking, all right, I'm going to knock this guy out real quick, you're going to have a breaking point like Conor McGregor did, where it's like he hit Poirier in the first round with a couple of big shots. And then that second round, you're like, oh, man, these leg kicks are hurting a little bit. This guy's not falling. All right, you know what? Let me just fall down and go back on my yacht. Where guys like that, me, I don't have no yacht. I'll sit there and live in my car in a tent, and I'll eat food off the streets. I'm a dog, so I'm going to be in your face. I don't care what happens in there. I could be bleeding. I could be hurt, and I'm still going to be walking through it.
Well, let's try and get you that $50,000 bonus, because I don't want you eating food off the streets and I don't want you sleeping in your car, okay? I know you're kidding. So I was talking to Paul Felder a few days ago. When this fight just got announced, and he said essentially, there we go. We'll continue. This is fun. This is the best interview ever.
Yeah, he does not appreciate you mentioning what's his name? Who'd you just mention?
Paul Felder.
Paul Felder. He does not like Paul Felder.
Was Paul Felder the breaking point when we mentioned him? You're like, I'm out.
My bad, I didn't hear it. What'd you say?
No, I was just saying. So Paul said the other day when you accepted the fight, he said, obviously, you know, obviously you just fought Lima recently and your leg was a little banged up. Of course, you want to rehab that, and you know it's only muscle, a little bit of muscle damage, and apparently you're fine now. But what's the next? Obviously, you fight what? 2 weeks on Saturday. It's been a few days now. I mean, what do you do throughout those next 2 weeks? Because you just had a fight, so the cardio's taken care of. Of course, you want to top that up a little bit. But what is, you know, the next 2 weeks? Obviously, you're going to make weight again. But is it just game planning, looking at Leon, and developing a strategy essentially?
Yeah, it's just being smarter. You know, he's a lefty, so it's like just getting used to place sparring with lefties and just moving the opposite way, where it's like, I don't need to spar hard. I could get hard grappling rounds, but like you said, my conditioning is there already. Just getting that other extra work on the outside. I do a lot of swimming anyway, to where you don't want to overdo it, where your body's broken down and it's like fight time already, and then your body's like already broken. So like for me, it's just about being smart, getting my speed up, a lot of pad work. Just where my timing and my distance is all right during this fight.
Let me ask you this, and I'm genuinely curious, because the calf kicks, they're you know, they're a new phenomenon. Not that new, but you know what I'm saying. They weren't even around when I was fighting. So, and you can't really check a calf kick, right? You just got to remove it. I mean, because somebody yesterday was talking about learning how to check calf kicks. I'm like, well, you don't check a calf kick because it's right down at the bottom. You just essentially got to get your leg out of the way. Is that accurate? Because as I say, I've never trained to attack with them or defend them.
Yeah, literally, like before the fight, you know, I'm going against a Lima. So knowing his brother's a great kicker. So I'm like, all right, well, this guy's got a calf kick. So I'm sitting there, you know, getting advice from top kickboxers. And I'm like, hey, what do you do with the calf kick? Move out of the way. I was like, yeah. Huh? Move out of the way. Like, you can't check it. There's no way to check for it. Even the ones you check are going to hurt you even more just because it's not possible. So when I get these fans that are calling me, bro, learn how to check calf kicks. And I'm like, dude, shut up. You don't even know what you're doing. So, but for me, it was like, I don't like to watch tape of my opponents, but I like to watch tapes of guys that fight like my opponents. And for that last fight, in my notes, I put on my screensaver, I put Khabib against Barbosa. I wanted the Khabib against Barbosa pressure. So I wanted to stay in the space to where the guy was going to break. Strikers, they need that distance. They need that time to catch their breath. And when you watch that fight, Khabib didn't give him no breath at all. And I was like, I need to have that type of pressure with Lima. So when he was throwing those calf kicks, he was throwing them a lot. I didn't care. I was like, I can't fold. I can't back up. I have to stay in the space. And like I said, I'm a dog. So I'm like, I'm not going to be one of those guys that's going to, all right, well, you know, that one hurt. Let me back up a little bit. I was like, dope, 15 minutes. Can't give me 15 minutes. I'm going to keep punching you in the face. You want to switch off like that? I'll do that.
Let me ask you this. Sorry, Luis, you got something. I was going to change subjects for a second. Go ahead.
Well, it was on something that he said earlier. So let me ask this first, just because it was kind of an interesting point. You were talking about Connor and you said, I don't have no yacht. You know, you're a dog. You're out there. You're in a different position. You are, however, I mean, you were in Bellator for a while. You've had championships in smaller organizations. You've now been fighting for the UFC for a little while now. You're growing into, you know, a very recognizable name in the martial arts community. Is it something that you have to sort of be conscious of to not, you know, to not get too comfortable, to not become too engaged with the sort of the glitz and the glam of being a UFC fighter? Is that something that you think is going to sort of soften you?
Yeah, you know, it's about the people you keep around you. Honestly, it's like my coaches, my family, like they're my biggest supporters, and they know they're gonna keep me level headed. Like literally after every one of my fights, my coach Lewis Taylor, he's like, we'll be in the back, and I'm like, you should have did this, you should have did that, you should have did this, we could have did this, this, and this. And it's like having those guys telling you that you could always be better, or you could have changed this, just keeps me where I need to be. Where it's like, I'm not one of those guys that's going to go out after a fight and buy a Rolex or a brand new car or something like that. My thing is all about my
family. Bisping.
I haven't bought a Rolex in my fucking life. Sue me. I've been giving them. Continue.
Yeah, just like, it's all about just, for me, it's about just making sure my family's good. My family's happy. And that's all that matters to me, honestly.
Okay, so you'll know where I'm going with this. Imagine this scenario. You go out there. You have a great fight. You win. You're backstage. You're doing an interview with Lorosanko. Jorge Masvidal walks by. You have a little eye contact, right? And then he walks over and he gives you a fucking three-piece in the shoulder. What is your reaction?
I'm from Chicago. If dude walks up to me, I'm hitting him right away. Like I said, I used to play basketball all the time down the streets of Chicago, and I would get in fights all the time because I was a trash talker when I was playing ball. Because, you know, people look at me, they don't think I'm a good at it. But I'm, like, sitting there shooting a three in your face and talking trash. But, like, if you're like, striking distance of me, I'm going to strike first. To me, it's always you got to hit him first and then go from there. I don't care about nothing else. So, like, if he even gets close to me, I'm hitting him. Like, for Leon, he got caught with that three-piece in a soda, and he was too comfortable. Like, what? Hey, I thought we were businessmen. Nah. Masvidal's a street fighter. You have to know if that guy's walking you with his hands behind his back, he's up to something.
Yeah, so let me ask you this then, and far be it from me to put words in your mouth, but if somebody was to take a three-piece in the soda and not do anything in return, what would that make them? How would you describe it? And I'm not saying anything about Leon Edwards. I'm asking you, what would that make them?
I mean, if it's one of my boys, if it's one of my friends, like, we're going to be rolling on in.
Just
for the
talk
rest
some shit, Bilal. Fuck me. I'm going to spoon feed you along the way. Come on. We're trying to get headlines.
No, like, literally, for a man to have another man do that to you, like, that's, like, he would have never left my country. He would have never left London. If he was in Chicago, like, it would have been over. He would have never been able to get on that flight. He would have never been able to leave that back room. Unless I get my lick back, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to be on a T-shirt, and nobody's going to be selling that T-shirt. Even still, like, where I'm sitting there, where he's sitting there trying to call out Masvidal, I'm like, go find Masvidal in Miami. Go hit him at the grocery store, and then you'll get that fight.
So if there was one word that would encompass that person, if there was one word, what would that word be?
Man, I don't curse, but I would say that...
I don't curse.
No.
Well, is that a religious thing? Okay, no, I respect that.
No, it's not a religious thing, but I just say he's a female dog.
A female dog. Okay, so you call him a little bitch. Perfect. Okay. Bilal and the dogs. All right, let me ask you this. Another one, changing topics, because I came on your podcast. You're a lot of fun. It's a great show, by the way, so check it out. Remember the show. It's part of Kenny Florian and the John Anik podcast, but you're doing a great job on that. We had light heavyweight champion Jan Blachowicz on here a few days ago, and obviously he's Polish. Right. What is your family history? Where's your family from originally?
My family's from Palestine.
Palestine. Okay. I don't know much about Palestine, so forgive my ignorance. But Jan Blachowicz came on and sang some beautiful old time folk music, some Polish songs, some classical songs, and he had quite the set of lungs. Bilal, do you have a song from Palestine that you can sing for us? Come on, buddy.
I'm not really a singer. I don't have any songs from there, but I listened to that podcast. I'm like, man, yeah, I'm the beast. But yeah, I can't match that.
No, I know. I'm just messing around. How do you see that fight going down, by the way, Jan and Izzy?
That's the thing. A lot of people are counting out Jan, man, but he got that Polish power. And all it takes is that one punch. And especially for Izzy, Izzy's more of a sniper. So he's not really like a big power puncher where he's going to go up there. It's like the power is going to transfer over. He's more like a sniper. But like Jan will sit there, walk you down. He's fought some big guys, even with his wrestling. If he comes out grappling heavy and just smarter with it, and then he breaks off a clinch with a big hook or something like that, I think he could catch Izzy. I think Izzy should have stayed at 85. He was being dominant there. Why not?
All right, we lost you for a second. You still there?
There he is. He's back.
All right.
No. The old hang up and come back routine. It's like the old believe you me days. Remember how many times we had to, right, I'm going to restart. I'll be back in a second.
My God. If we had audio, Brian probably does. Brian's going to ruin both of our careers one day for all of the unaired audio.
I for sure have all that stuff.
These guys go from, these guys are able to FaceTime you on airplane mode.
Oh, God damn, yeah, because you're on the Wi-Fi, of course. Yeah, sorry about that.
Bro, no. If I just didn't answer your call and I kept Xing you out, why would you FaceTime me like it's going to make a difference?
Dude, my dad does it all the time. He will call and then I hang up. And he calls and I hang up. Like, I'm talking, I legit instantly hang up. He'll hang up. It's like, get the fucking message, Dad. I can't talk right now or I don't want to talk. And then he's FaceTiming. Number one, not every call needs to be a fucking FaceTime either. Shoot me a text, please, for the love of God.
My dad will literally call me when I'm in the back room of my fight and I'm literally getting my hands wrapped and he's calling me, hey, how you doing? I'm about to fight right now, but I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? yeah, yeah, just make sure you go to the body. My dad has zero MMA experience, zero athletic experience, but he always says, go to the body. And I'm like, all right, I'll go to the body. Thanks.
But that's like a good old school line, isn't it, for boxers or like, you know, make sure, work the body, son, work the body. I respect that. That's cool. Pre-pandemic, was he a big supporter? Was he coming to your fights and all that thing?
My dad actually was never was able to come to one of my fights because he owned his own business before. So always in the workroom. But like I had three brothers and a sister, and they literally come to every single fight. They flew down to Abu Dhabi when I fought there. They flew to Australia when I fought there. So they're always with me. But now my dad literally doesn't have a job now. So he'll literally now, we're waiting for freaking COVID to be done.
Are you religious? I have this here in the notes that you're Muslim. Do you practice?
Yeah, yeah. I'm practicing Muslim. I pray 5 times a day. And
oh, wow.
Try to be as, yeah.
And how, is there any sort of conflict with your religion and mixed martial arts? I always sort of wonder that. Is there any sort of like, do you have to do things differently than somebody else that wasn't a practicing Muslim?
No, I mean, it's honestly, I feel like it's honestly better for us, where it's like, after fights, we're not going out partying and drinking and then it makes us more disciplined, where I know I have to pray 5 times a day. So like I was born and raised with that type of discipline, where I know now when it's like fight mode or something like that, I had that discipline. And a lot of guys where it's like guys need to meditate and get in their own head, and I'm praying 5 times a day. That's considered like a form of meditation where you think about anything. And it's like, for me, it's like I have nothing to fear, whereas like I believe in God. So like I already believe everything's like written. So it's like whatever happens, it's meant to happen. So win or lose, hurt or not hurt, I know that it's for me. It's supposed to be this way.
Can I just ask you something on that? And don't, I'm not mocking or anything. I'm not a religious guy, right? So I'm just throwing that out there. But again, I was raised as a Catholic, so I respect everyone's beliefs. You know what I mean? But so from what you just said there, Bilal, Could that not be deciphered as saying, okay, well, I'm just not going to train for this fight because it's already written by God anyway?
We have a saying in our religion. It's called, tie your camel. Then a guy wants to ask, like, I'm just going to leave my camel untied. And then God has me anyway. So God's going to watch it for me. No, then the prophet, peace be upon him, said, no, tie your camel, then trust God. So, like, do all the things that you need to do, then have your trust.
Yeah.
It's part of God's plan that you would train accordingly.
For people that say they're not religious.
Yeah.
If you're, like, say you're on a stranded island and you're in the middle of the ocean and, like, there's sharks flowing around you, like, what would it be? Would it be like, please, God, get me out of this? Or it would be like...
Bisping would pray to himself. He'd be like,
no, listen, listen, I'm not against it. I was raised as a Catholic. I'd give it a shot for sure. I'd give it a shot. I'm like, listen, if you're up there, I'm sorry about all the times I talk shit, but if you're as truly as good and forgiving as you fucking proclaim to be, then you'll let this one slide and you'll send the fucking boat my way. But I guarantee a boat wouldn't show up. But still, there you go.
Does it offend you? Because you said you listened to the show. Does it offend you when somebody like myself or Michael Bisping, we take little shots, make jokes about religion here and there? Some people get really offended in the comments, right? And I don't understand why, because I'm going like, well, look, if you're right, we're burning in the fiery pits of hell or whatever, you know, your version of hell is. So does it offend you at all when you hear people sort of either make a mockery of it or sort of joke about it?
It doesn't offend me, where it's like, like I said, I'm from Chicago. I'm from the south side of Chicago, where it's like, I've literally dealt with so many people talking trash and this or that. And I literally went to school, college, and I was in a fraternity, where it's like, to get in a fraternity, you literally have to do a lot of drink. My cousin was like my bodyguard over there, and he always like had my back. So he told him, like, yo, he's not gonna drink. So anytime you guys do a drinking thing, he's gonna drink a gallon of milk. So it's like I dealt with so many people trying to realize what this guy did, like what is his religion all about and stuff. It's understandable, but I know if I had you in a room with me for a week or something like that, then you'll start thinking more about religion. I'll get in your head a little bit more.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you fucking went on and on at me relentlessly for a fucking week and I was trapped in a room with you, I'd have no choice but to engage in a little conversation about it. But I was raised by my mother, who was a strict Catholic, that whacked me around the face with a fucking baking spoon every day anytime I said I didn't believe in God.
Yeah, we're drinking still. Milk. We're surrounded by sharks for a week. I'm going to believe in whatever you tell me to believe in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just send the boat. Okay, so if Leon Edwards... So, all right, no, let me ask this another way. If you can't take Leon Edwards down, how does the fight go?
If I can't take Leon Edwards down, I'm going to break the record for most punches thrown in a fight. And I'm gonna have that Max Holloway against Calvin Kattar performance where I'm in his face. I'm gonna be in his face all five rounds, and it's gonna be a lot of punching, and it's gonna be a lot of swelling on his face.
You seem supremely confident. And when I fought Rockhold for the belt, that was short notice, and I was extremely confident because I was fit. Obviously, you're fit, right? But and to your point before, you're not overthinking everything. You don't have time to stress yourself out. You don't have time to watch so much tape. Is that partly where the confidence is coming from? Because you're going in there, you feel like you've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, honestly, I've always felt like I belong in that top five and in them talks with these guys. Like, literally every time there was a Usman needed an opponent or something where he had a short notice fight outside of when he was a champion, I was like, I texted Sean Shelby, like, yo, let me get that fight. Or Colby Covington, when he was looking for fights, when he was on the streets with a sign, remember, and he was like, looking for fights, UFC's not getting any fights. I was like, oh, yo, let me get Colby Covington. Like, I was that guy. I'm always trying to fight the top guys, the best guys, because I want to test myself against those guys. So for me, I thought I was going to have to take the long road to the championship where it's like, all right, I got that 9-8-7-6-5-4-3. Now I get to skip the line and go straight to number three. And then I win this. I could be fighting for the title before that ended a year. Like, it got me excited. And, you know, for me, I love fighting. I love doing this. And, like, you're going to give me a main event spot on ESPN. This is what I dreamed about. This is where I feel like I belong. This is, like, all the hard work I put in, all the years I put in. Now it's like, now I just got to go out there and have fun with it.
What would you rather be? Would you rather be a prelim headliner or the main event of the main card? Because Lewis says that more people see you in the prelim headliner. I said, no.
I was just repeating what Dominic Cruz said.
So what would you rather be, prelim headliner or main event?
I want to be main event because you get that extra money for the extra two rounds.
I know. I'm only being a dick. I'm being silly. Okay. So the welterweight division, who obviously we just saw Kamaru destroy. Well, sorry, not destroy Gilbert Burns. What am I saying? Gilbert looked fucking fantastic in that first round. But still, it was a solid win. It was a good stoppage for Kamaru Usman. How do you see the welterweight title picture? Who do you think is going to get the next shot at the belt? And how do you think that goes?
I mean, well, obviously, I think it's going to be Masvidal just because money-wise, if I'm Usman, it makes the most sense. The toughest fight in the for him, I think, would be Wonderboy. Wonderboy Styles. You need to bring in specialists.
Nope, there he is. I like these.
Yeah, he's a little bit frozen up. The interview just in general is a little bit choppy, unfortunately. Which is a shame because he's such a good interview.
He is. Is he there? Bilal.
I think he's just frozen.
Remember the face.
There we go. He'll be back in a second.
No, he's great. He's great. No. We'll wrap it up in a second. Anyway, we've been going for a little bit there. So, interesting stuff, though. I think he will come back in just a second. He has done every other time. Should we see? I don't know. Maybe he won't. Oh, yep. Yeah, there he is.
What if it was Leon Edwards?
There he is.
My bad, guys.
No, don't worry about it. You're good, buddy. All right. Well, listen, you are having some technical difficulties, so we'll let you go. We've been going for a little bit there anyway. We'll let you go on this. What is the prediction? When you fight Leon Edwards, March 13th, Las Vegas, at the Apex, you're coming in, you make weight perfectly. The next 2 weeks are the best training of your life. How does the fight go down?
I finished Leon Edwards. Kamaru Usman. Masvidal loses his title shot. Bully B fights Usman for the title. And we're both tough coaches, and bam, my year's set.
That's it. All right. Lovely.
Beautiful.
Bilal, thanks for joining us, mate. I appreciate it. I know it was short notice last minute, so thank you very much for making some time and jumping off.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Bilal Muhammad, really good guy. We haven't had a single interview where afterwards we didn't go, what a good guy. They're all good guys.
I only bring good guys to the table, buddy.
Who's your least favorite interview that we've done so far?
The least favorite interview. I don't want to say. I can't say that. I know who it is.
You have the answer.
I've got it there. I've got it locked and loaded. I was like, abort mission. I'm not going to say it, though. I'm not going to say, all right, well, Bilal Muhammad fighting Leon Edwards. Only messing with you, Leon, in case you're getting offended there. Yeah, that's a great fight. Great stylistic matchup. Fair play to Leon. Want to see him back in there. All right, support for Believe You Me is brought to you today by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels, and they obsess over their technology developments to provide you with the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Join the movement for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. So 2 million men out of the 9 billion, well, there's 7 billion people on the planet, let's say 3.5 billion of them are men. Only 2 million are shaving their balls and not injuring themselves. Only 2 million are getting super smooth, like a baby's bottom, ball sack, okay, without doing themselves a personal injury, Lewis.
I know. And that's really the point of this. It's nearly impossible to nick yourself. Everyone knows when you shave with like a Bic or even just head trimmers, which I used to use to trim my family jewels. You have to be very, very careful. It takes probably 10 times as long because you're trying to go around every crevice, every little fold. You want to make sure that you don't hurt yourself. With the Lawnmower 3.0, it is damn near impossible. They have quiet stroke technology. They have an LED light in case you're doing it in the dark. You could do it in the shower. It's waterproof as well. The most important thing of all, it is absolutely safe. I do it in probably 30 seconds flat. I completely trim my downstairs, pain-free, in the shower, in and out, done.
At the end of the day, if you're choosing to shave your balls in the pitch black whilst in the shower, then I think you've got bigger problems than nicking your balls, because that's just weird. But still, with the amazing technology which the third generation trimmer offers, cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce the grooming accidents. As you said, it is waterproof. And when I tell you this thing is premium, I mean premium, because the battery lasts up to 90 minutes. So if you've got an exceptionally large set of balls that need a lot of grooming, we got you covered. And I reckon you'll get quite a lot done. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. End of the day, we've all got to trim our balls, okay? No one wants to see that. Certainly your significant other, they want you to trim your balls. So go ahead, trim your balls whilst not hurting yourself. If you want to do that, go to manscaped.com, 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 and use the code Bisping20. You're going to get 20% off. So shave your balls, do it with the best technology on the planet, do it with 1,000 rev per minute fucking engine with a ceramic blade and lights and waterproof and lights and all kinds. It's all singing, all dancing, but fuck it. You want 20% off. Use that code Bisping20 at manscaped.com. All right, where were we? All right, it's Thursday, so it's a hammer-fisting day. So, Harrington, get on here, show yourself, and with the notes that we haven't addressed, why don't you fire them at us in a hammer-fisting scenario-type way, and we'll give some answers. Hopefully, Lewis will give a different answer. We'll debate. We'll go back and forth. There might be a little comedy spin thrown in there as well. Maybe. But look at this guy. He's worried. Harrington, what have you got for us? Throw some questions at us, please. Don't do that. Don't jerk off fresh air every time we say it.
All right, so Francis Ngannou back in the news. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. He's essentially just taken to this camp. All he's releasing footage of is him just eating body shots. He did one where Dan Ige was just ripping into him. Now this week, he just put out another video where he's just standing and letting other UFC fighters just take undefended body shots against him. I've never seen this technique before. I don't know exactly what he's preparing for, but Mike, can you give us any kind of insight into why Francis Ngannou is training by taking a ton of body shots?
Well, can we see the video? Because I know you sent me a link. So let's take a look at this.
Well,
so that's Dan Ige. It's a guy at a quarter of his size.
That's a fuck with Danny Ye's head, though.
But it is, though. It's like me getting fucking Lucas and going, hey, hit me as hard as you can in the stomach. You know, it is. I'm sorry. That's the reality. You know, Danny Ye is a fantastic fighter, but he's a fraction of the size. I thought, is there anybody else? It's only Danny Ye?
Yeah, I put it in here on the the group chat.
Listen, at the end of the day, right, any good combat sports athlete can...
if you get it right in the liver, the perfect spot, that might be a little different. But generally, the front of the stomach, if you tense your stomach and breathe out as you get hit, who's this one now? Is that Khamzat?
I don't know the name of the fighter, but he seems to be a UFC fighter.
Yeah, he's hitting him right in the solar plexus there. Look at, yeah, to see Francis, and this is an insult. This is me when I was at school. I all the time, go on, fucking hit me in the stomach as hard as you can. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't do shit. And you look, Francis is fucking harnessing that. Look at the face, like, yeah, hit me. I'm a fucking beast. Nothing hurts me.
You what know what we do as well, Bisping?
Go on.
We would do, you, because it reminded me of you saying you did it in school. We would essentially, it was just a different, it was really what a rear naked choke does. We would hyperventilate, we bend over and breathe like really heavy for like 30 seconds, then get up and have somebody put their hands right on the carotid arteries and push you up against the wall until you passed out.
Yeah, no. We talked about that before. Harrington, are you with anyone at the studio right now?
Yeah, I mean, Frank is here. And
Frank, get Frank over.
I want to see Frank punch you.
Punch you in the stomach as hard as you can. But trust me, if you tense your stomach and breathe out at the point of impact, it will not hurt. Get Frank the tank over.
It'll hurt the muscle, right? So you'll feel it a little bit.
No, it won't hurt.
Punch me as hard as you can in the stomach. That's what Bisping is asking for.
Yeah. Can we see a bigger shot, Brian? A wider shot just on Harrington just for the second? Because I want to see the punch. I want to see Frank. I want to see what we're working with here. Frank, it's Frank.
The tank.
Oh, there we go. All right, Frank.
Is there somebody, is there a better puncher there? What other men are in studio?
Feeney does it.
Feeney's more athletic than Frank. Yeah, let Feeney do it. Feeney's a great comic. Mike Feeney, great comic, Irish Goodbye podcast.
Yeah. We need you to punch Harrington. You can't hear us, but just explain. Yeah, that's it, Feeney. Right here.
As hard as you can. Five times.
Tell him just once. Hard as you can. Hard. Hard.
Tell him as hard as he can, Harrington, you pussy.
Hard as you can.
Harder. Breathe out.
Harder.
Breathe out, Harrington. Like, Francis Ngannou. You are Francis Ngannou right now.
You're right. It doesn't hurt that bad.
Yeah. You breathe out, it's okay. I mean, it's more effective when you've got a little 2-foot-tall bloody UFC fighter doing it to you. But Ngannou's having a little bit of fun there. God bless him. He's a beast of a man.
Yeah.
Well done, Harrington. How did that feel?
Not great. I did not enjoy that. I don't know why I kept doing that. I think I heard Feeney's knuckles, though, so that's fun.
There you go.
Speaking of hard hitters, Daniel Cormier had a theory that, you know, Derek Lewis might actually be the hardest hitter in the UFC. His quote is this. He stood there and took pictures with Derek Lewis talking about Ngannou because of the power coming back in his direction. So let's not go acting as if Derek Lewis doesn't have the power to match anyone in the heavyweight division. Even
Harrington is hiding a lot of pain right now.
Is that why you can't talk?
I think it's more the screaming harder, harder. You heard my voice. When you talk about knockouts, nobody has more than Derek. So how can you say that another guy has more power than him? And that's not a knock on Francis. That's just reality. What do you guys think? Is Francis Ngannou or is Derek Lewis the hardest hitter in the UFC's heavyweight division?
All right. Let me start with this. I'm not talking shit about DC. I love DC. He's a good friend of mine. I'm commentating with him. I'm going to see him tomorrow in Vegas. I am not talking shit. But this all comes from the fact that DC has a win over Derek Lewis. Simple as that. If you beat Derek Lewis, then of course, he's the hardest hitter on the fucking planet. And he is one of the hardest hitters. Of course, the only one that, well, not the only, but the one that we're all thinking of is the one that we were talking about a second ago. DC has not fought Francis Ngannou, right? That is the writing on the wall. No one hits harder than Francis, but DC hasn't fought him. So of course he's going to make the case for Derek Lewis because it helps him out. And I do the same thing, by the way. I'm not talking shit. All fighters, we all do it. You know, if you beat somebody, you want them to never win. If someone beats you, fuck me. You want them to always, always continue to win. But, yeah, that's just DC making excuses because he hasn't fought Francis Ngannou and he hasn't beaten Francis Ngannou, Lewis.
Did they both do the punching test? I thought the UFC, on set for one of those shows, they had the punching test and Ngannou held the record for a hot minute. And
Ngannou did one at the PI. Derek Lewis did one at the on UFC Tonight when it was on Fox back in the day. So two different measuring things. So, you know, two different tests. Listen, at the end of the day, they both hit hard. It's apples and pears, right? I would say the more natural ability probably goes to Francis Ngannou. We've seen his punches to be more devastating. You know, if you look at the fight with Volkov and Derek Lewis, you know, he went three rounds. Ngannou is going out there and literally, like, I don't know what his record is. I haven't got it in front of me, but he's taking real good fighters out there very quickly. You know, look what he did to Cain fucking Velasquez. Who else? Jairzinho Rozenstruik. He's on display this weekend. Knocked him out very, very, very fucking quickly. The man just needs to connect with you once. Now, if Derek Lewis connects with you cleanly as well, more than likely you are also going to sleep. But it just seems to be like a glancing blow if Ngannou does the job.
Yeah, I mean, look, these guys did actually fight each other, and we could have gotten the answer to this question if they had just fucking stepped up and punched each other in the face.
I was trying to get Bilal Muhammad to talk some crap about Leon Edwards just for shits and giggles. But Harrington, if there was two men in an octagon, and they were large men, and they were renowned for having the hardest punching power in the fucking world or in the UFC, but yet they just stared at each other, and to use Daniel Cormier's quote, took pictures, what would you call those people, Harrington?
Well, I mean...
Little bitches, you say?
No, I would not. I would never call Derek Lewis or Francis Ngannou a
Harrington,
little bit.
Harrington's also racist, so let's not ask him this question.
Whoa. Come on, keep that out of here. That's not funny. Harrington, what would you call them?
It's objectively funny. I would call them sir and see if they wanted a coffee or anything.
Probably smart.
Well, no. To be fair, we saw this when Colby fought Kamaru Usman. Everybody thought it was going to be a grappling-heavy affair. When you have two guys in there who are high-level grapplers, they turn it into a striking affair. So I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary, or it's anything that we couldn't have expected going into it. When you have two massive power punchers who can put each other out with one shot, it's why I was so excited when Ngannou walked through Rozenstruik.
You don't have to make excuses for them. The world has said the judgment is done, okay? It was a shit fight. I'm sure they both admit that. You don't have to make excuses for them. End of the day, they both had maximum respect for one another. That kind of canceled it out. They didn't want to be first. They didn't want to take chances. Reality was Derek was ever so slightly busier, so therefore he got the edge. But you don't have to make excuses. Call it what it is. It was a shit fight. It was a shitty fight, right, Lewis?
Yeah, definitely a shitty fight. Call a spade, Harrington. Come on.
Yeah, please do. Please do. But don't do that. What else you got?
All right. Kamaru Usman thinks that Colby really fucked up, turning down that Leon Edwards fight. He said, I think he made a huge mistake, a tremendous mistake. Who turns down a paycheck? He turned down a paycheck. That's horrible. You can't do that. I mean, maybe he's not hurting for money, but you can't turn down a paycheck. Then on top of that, you turn down a chance to really remind the fans. Now, I understand you've got to win, but that's what, one win in how long? Woodley's coming off a 2-3 fight skid. It's a tough one. So basically, all right, you've got one win on your back. But it's a guy who's coming off of a 2 or 3 fight skid. That was a tough one. He was referring to the fact that Colby turned down the fight with Leon Edwards. Do you guys agree? Is it a bad move for Colby Covington to turn it down? And does it get him any closer to a title waiting on the sidelines, Lewis?
I think Colby is a star. He's made a star out of himself by being a dickhead. I think that he's always going to sort of be, he's sort of in a position where people want to see him lose. So he's going to always be in big fights. There's a multitude of reasons why somebody can turn down a fight. You know, if they're not ready, timing wise, they have a family obligation, they got to pray 5 times a day. There's a million reasons you could turn down a fight. So I'm not going to hate on Colby for turning down a fight. I don't believe that Colby Covington's afraid of Leon Edwards. I don't think he's afraid of any man, to be honest with you. I think Colby is actually a really, really great fighter, even though he's sort of a dickhead. I'm not going to disparage somebody for turning down a fight. It just didn't line up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And you know, the writing on the wall or the public perception is that Colby is a bit of a dickhead. And I would attest to that. But I will say this. I saw yesterday, I think it was yesterday or in the last couple of days, I saw some sparring footage of Colby Covington, and he went to just a regular class, and he said, oh, Colby Covington training some amateurs. And it was just like a little gym, God knows where it was. And he had his shin pads and his gloves on, and he was having a little spar with all the, obviously the amateur fighters in the room. And he was being very nice. He was taking his time. He was letting them hit. He was being very, very gentle. He certainly wasn't doing the dickhead thing where you go up against less talented fighters or beginners or whatever, and you just basically have some target practice, make yourself feel good, and beat the shit out of him. No, what he was doing, he was being very, very nice. He was taking his time, taking it easy, and just kind of trying to train them a little bit. So I actually thought it was it was very, very nice of him. But still, so Colby Covington turned down Leon Edwards. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, you know, as you said, Lewis, there's many ideas. I mean, Usman's going to talk shit, right? But by that account, you could say that Usman should fight Colby again. You know, I mean, he's calling out Masvidal, right, which we all get. The first fight did 1.3 million pay-per-view buys. He wants that money again. He wants to get paid like that again. Of course you do, right? That's a big, massive payday. So he wants that again. You know, I'd like to see Colby fight Usman again because that was a fucking fantastic fight. And if he gets past Masvidal, you never know. But at some point, something's got to change because them three can't keep going around in circles. Masvidal, Usman, and Covington. You know what I mean? They are the three top dogs at welterweight.
Masvidal and Covington have to fight at one point. That's just a fact, right? Those guys hate each other. They were former training partners. They just have to fight. So, you know, we'll see what happens. If Masvidal loses to Usman, I think that sort of makes sense. Does Covington not have a fight right now?
I don't believe so. No, no. Yeah. And again, also Masvidal and Leon Edwards, that's a fight that needs to happen. They got to make that fight. You know, it's too good. It's too good. Number one, it's a great fight, but with the backstory and, you know, Masvidal essentially assaulting him, then you know what I mean? Call it what you will. You got one more, Harrington, before we all get out of here and go about our lives.
So TJ Dillashaw says he's coming back. He says he wants that immediate title fight, but he'd accept anybody in the top five. Corey Sandhagen seems more than ready to welcome him, says that he wants the title shot himself, but he's willing to eliminate that TJ Dillashaw option if it is out there. So who do you guys want to see here? We have Jan versus Sterling next week. Do you think that Sandhagen gets the immediate shot, TJ gets the immediate shot, or do those two fight each other for that title shot?
I mean, realistically, Sandhagen's done enough to earn it. 100% he has. You can't argue with that. He just knocked out Frankie Edgar and knocked out, who was it? Who did he knock out? He's spinning back kicked. Who the hell? Anyway, whatever. Pardon me?
Moraes.
Oh, yeah, Sergio Moraes, and then he beats Frankie Edgar like that. You can't deny it. But then, okay, there's TJ Dillashaw who's back, and, you know, it is what it is. He's served his suspension, you know, so that's the punishment he was given, you know. So take out all our personal opinions on somebody doing steroids and whatnot. The judgment was passed down, you know. He was suspended for 2 years, and he's done that. So he's back. So forget about all of that. He's a big name. He's a big name. But I don't think TJ Dillashaw certainly should get rewarded with a title shot. He'd certainly have to earn that. And Corey Sandhagen would be a very tough fight. It'd actually be a good fight, one I'd like to see. So yeah, I'd like to see TJ take on Sandhagen. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be an incredible fight. I mean, look, TJ does not get an immediate title shot, period. I don't give a shit. And I know they did pass down the judgment, but if you get caught using steroids, you're suspended for 2 years. You don't get rewarded for that with an immediate title shot after you come back. You have to come back and prove yourself. I'm not saying that he can't get a top three fight, top two, even a number one contender match, but he still has got to prove himself and fight clean. If he does that, you know, he's 2 year suspension is a massive, massive suspension. You lose an insane amount of money. Believe me, TJ Dillashaw felt it, and it was a punishment that really hurt him. But yeah, he can't get an immediate title shot.
TJ actually said this week, he said he was glad. And I kind of get it as well. He said, I'm glad I got that suspension for 2 years because in that 2 years, I had no choice but to figure out other ways to make money. So before I was just earning money off being a fighter, but now, of course, I was suspended for 2 years. He had to do other things. He's got a juice store, which is something, it's called Clean Juice, I think, something like that, which is a very ironic name for a juice store for TJ Dillashaw. But still, with that 2 year separation away from the sport, forced him to do some other things. And he's right, that is beneficial because a lot of fighters, they wait until they're retired before they try and open doors. You know, post-athletic career is a very hard thing to do. And you got to take advantage of the situation and the platform that you have when you are in the limelight. So, yeah, no, that worked out for him. All right, we've got big fights this weekend, but I'm commentating, so I can't give predictions on whatnot. Silgan taking on Rozenstruik, two big heavyweights, two knockout artists in their own right. Lewis, what do you know about these two? And what do you think? Who wins that real quick?
I mean, guys, Gon's undefeated, right?
Gon's undefeated. He's only had 7 or 8 fights. Rozenstruik, he got beaten. Oh, no, he didn't get beaten by... got beat by Ngannou. Yeah. Got beat by Ngannou. I'm not sure if he's undefeated, though. He might have a loss outside the UFC. Not sure. But they both... both of them, which is kind of curious, their last win was over Junior Dos Santos. They both knocked them out in the second round. So, yeah, Ngannou was the only defeat of Rozenstruik. So, yeah, but it's Ilgan, big guy, 6'6", moves very well, probably more athletic, more of a kicker. Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I like Sergan in the fight. I mean, it's just it's simply based off the fact that I have not seen him lose. It's hard to always pick against. If I don't know a ton of history about either fighter, one guy's undefeated, I just sort of typically pick that guy. But, you know, it's Ngannou. Ngannou, he's fighting for the title. He can beat any man any given day. So it's also, you have to take that with a grain of salt. That loss comes to the guy to beat.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And that loss to Ngannou for Rozenstruik happened before the fight even really fucking started, let's be honest. Ngannou just went straight ahead at him with no fear, didn't care what was coming back his direction, unloaded with a barrage of punches and put him down, put him to sleep. So, yeah, a little bit annoying for Rozenstruik. I asked him, I said, if you got a chance to do that again, what would you change? And not much. Apparently, he just said, nah, I'll go again and try and punch him, essentially, but didn't really delve too much into it. I try and knock him out. I was like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. All right, well, we'll break down whatever happens on Saturday's fight on Monday. That's the show. We're done. Lewis, Harry,
let me do plugs real quick, guys. You love the show. Go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating, positive review. We love the great reviews. Subscribe on our YouTube channel. Your YouTube channel is blown the fuck up. It's at 120,000 subscribers. Now, thank you very much for subscribing there. Leave us some positive comments. Obviously, we always love to hear those. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library, please go to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Get the entire on-demand library in one place, both ad-free and uncensored.
All right, that's it. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Lewis, Brian, Harrington, thank you for your feedback. And we'll be back Monday.